Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Our guest on this segment is an international speaker and recognized expert in the field of technology marketing and mortgage lending. Chip Cummings has appeared on radio and television, including Fox and Friends, Fox Business, NBC, The Neil Cavuto Show, and on CBS and ABC. He's also been interviewed and quoted in newspapers and magazines such as Entrepreneur, Broker Banker, National Mortgage News, Mortgage Originator, and many others. He's the author of several books, including Cashing In on Pre-Foreclosures and Short Sales, his latest book. Is a number one bestseller on the Amazon list. Joining us on the line from Grand Rapids, Michigan is Chip Cummings. Chip, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, David. Great to be on, and thanks for the invitation.
So, Chip, I'm curious. You talk about capturing new customers and turning suspects into prospects without even talking to them. What are some of the key ingredients that make up a top producer from your point of view?
Well, there are several things, and in working with top producers from around the country and working in all different types of industries, we've sort of narrowed it down to what I call six secrets for increasing your online profits. And anybody can do them. It doesn't matter what your product or service is. It doesn't matter where you're located. It doesn't matter your income or experience or, you know, how old you are. These are something that anybody can do and increase their sales and become tops in their industry.
All right, fantastic. I know that you have a system for generating website traffic and converting them into what we call hot leads automatically. Of course, this is the dream of every online marketer on the planet to do these things in an automated way. Give us a sense of how you help business owners do this, Chip.
Well, sure. First of all, any business owner, anyone that's in the market for selling any kinds of products or services needs to understand that there are four cornerstones of success. The first one is what we call foundation. You've got to have a business foundation in which to service your customers. The holy grail in most people's eyes is what we call traffic generation. Where do I get those visitors from and how do I generate that traffic? But the real profit is in the third cornerstone, and that is what we call traffic conversion. How do you get those people into paying customers? And that's where the real money is. The fourth one, which is for long-term success, is what we call R&R, retention and referral.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. Now, for more information about all those things, I should mention we're visiting with Chip Cummings. The website would be www.chipcummings.com, CUMMINGS.com. Let's move to some of the subjects we had talked about. When you talk about controlling your virtual real estate, what exactly do you mean?
Well, a couple things. People don't really understand how important this is until their competitors master it. And the first thing that I typically have any of my clients or students do, the people that I work with, is go out and Google themselves. And I know that sounds a little funny, but they really need to go out and find out what their web presence is. And once they've done that, they need to also do the same thing for their products or services and find out not only what their competitors are doing to control that, but to find out how easy it is for their customers to find them and also find their products. They need to control those keywords, is what we're referring to, those keywords that customers are searching on so that they know that their prospects are going to find them first.
Okay, great. So when I'm visiting with a real estate expert like you and the word virtual real estate comes up, slightly different meaning here. We're really talking about mining and going out and doing some intelligence about how you show up on the internet in the eyes of others who are searching for certain keyword search terms.
We really are, because just like your home address is where you live, and the post office knows how to find you,
yeah.
Your virtual world where your business and services reside is also a virtual address, and people have to be able to find that easier, if not, more rapidly than they can find you in the yellow pages or in some phone directory somewhere.
Absolutely. You talk about a concept you call the ethical bribe. What is the ethical bribe, Chip?
Well, the ethical bribe is something that goes back generations, and it really has to do with providing value in exchange for information. And let me give you an example, David. What I mean by that is, let's say you were interested in purchasing a home. I could have a report, let's say, the five biggest mistakes most first-time home buyers make and how to avoid them. You'd be really interested in that information. And I would say, you know what, as a real estate expert, let me give you that information, but I'm going to make a trade with you. You need to give me your name and email address at least in order to be able to get that information. Now, that's something that's obviously going to be a fair trade for you. And the one rule in the ethical bribe game is that the more value you provide, the more information I'll provide to you.
Okay, very good. So the ethical bribe is really how you can get information, collect leads, and it's really the first or one of the major mechanisms to engage someone that has happened upon your site, your information, etc.
Yeah, I sort of equate it to a great-looking billboard. When you're driving down the highway, you know, you could have a billboard that's seen by a million people a day, but if you don't capture any information about those million people, you have no way of following up with them, and you really decrease your opportunities for being able to convert them into a customer. So that ethical bribe makes sure that I have a way of following up with those prospects to tell them more about my products and services.
In every sense, it is a system, isn't it?
It really is. There is a formula to it. And that ethical bribe, by the way, that personal value can be written, it can be audio, it can be video, it could be an on-site training. It can be, I mean, there's literally dozens of things that fit into that category.
So you really need to get creative, and I'm sure you suggested that a business owner get creative about what they're an expert in and how, and they might create content that they can give away free around it.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun with that over the years.
Excellent. Now, when you talk about diversifying the quote-unquote the footprint, what are you getting at there?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, most people look at their website. You know, let's take ChipCummings.com as an example. Okay, I should be able to find everything out about Chip Cummings on ChipCummings.com. Well, that's great, except when they don't know who I am and they're looking for a specific product or service. If they're looking for real estate training, for example, they may go look at in other areas and then sort of find out about me through the back door. So I need to really diversify the areas that I'm in. And I'm not just talking websites here,
okay.
But I'm also talking in terms of other types of web and online media. But a lot of times people concentrate all of their efforts just on their main website. You got to have a lot of lines in the water to catch fish. And so you need to separate out your pages, create mini sites for each of your products and services, and that way you have a much better chance of controlling the virtual real estate we were talking about and making it easier for people to find you.
This would be a good point to jump off onto the social media piece. How do you suggest business owners, folks that are looking to promote and market their own products or services online, work with social media?
Well, first of all, it's a must for people to participate in the business world in social media. It's what we call web marketing 2.0, soon to evolve to what they call 3.0.
Yes.
And if you don't know the difference between a Twitter and a tweet and a Facebook and a LinkedIn and some of those things, and granted, it can be a little bit intimidating when you first get involved in some of the networks. You need to jump in with both feet and start getting very familiar with how they work, because that's where your customers are. And if you don't go where your customers are and you don't have a way of interacting with them in these specialized social network sites, then you're missing out to huge opportunities, not only to create a relationship with your prospects, but you're missing out on your competition doing the same thing. And so you do need to get in and understand how Twitter works and Facebook. I mean, Facebook is the number 5 most popular site in the entire country. And so you can't afford to neglect sites like this and the opportunities they provide you.
Is it a matter from a tactical standpoint of a business owner just allocating certain time for the activities of social media?
It is. Doesn't take all that much time. You know, when you talk about that, David, some people say, well, I don't have, you know, a couple hours per day.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I brought that up. I know people have a resistance based
really
on their perception
don't.
Of time.
Does it take an hour or two to figure it out and get it set up? Yeah, I'm not going to kid you there. It does. You want to know what it can do for you. Don't just delegate it blindly, because then you don't know what the benefits are and what you should be going after. But on a daily basis, you know, you should only be spending 7 to 10 minutes a day making sure you're connecting. And there are a lot of automated services that will do it for you out there. But the biggest thing that I can stress to your listeners, David, is to make sure it's personal. Make sure it reflects your personality. Don't try and put canned messages in and make it a marketing robot, because that won't work. People will see right through it.
So it's authenticity, it's true engagement with whoever is following you in the case of Twitter.
Yeah, no question about it. You've really got to be able to interact with your customers. I just picked up two brand new clients last week based on one tweet that I had on Twitter for a simple little conference call that we held last week. So, you know, the proof is in the pudding. People will follow you if they're interested in the content, and they'll be able to search for you based upon your interests and your keywords within your profiles.
We're visiting with marketing expert Chip Cummings. That website, www.chipcummings.com. What do we get wrong about the way we construct business websites? In other words, and we may have hit on some of this already, but is there a gem you can give us in terms of how to approach constructing websites that might open a key? And I know you have additional materials beyond what we can cover here.
I do. Yeah, I mean, we could spend a good 8-10 hours just talking about the topic alone, no question. But one of the biggest things that I can share with you and your listeners is to make sure you use multimedia. And what I mean by that is you've got to be able to use video and at least audio on your websites. If you just have a standard little template website that looks like it was updated in 2004, that's exactly what your viewers will see.
Right.
So you've got to be able on your landing pages, your thank you pages, your e-commerce sites, use video testimonials, make sure you have video product demonstrations. There's all sorts of ways that you can use video, and it is so inexpensive and easy to do nowadays that there's just no excuse anymore. But then you could take it even further, David. You could use blogs with video. You could collect comments from your clients and you know, interact it with the social networking sites that we were talking about, like Facebook. There's a lot of ways to incorporate it, and again, it just further develops the relationship for you.
How do you advise small business owners do the thing that is really hard for a lot of entrepreneurs to do, and that is focus, laser focus on the targeting of their marketing?
Well, it is, but you know, you've hit upon a key point for a lot of business owners and sales professionals out there because they seem so busy sometimes focused on, you know, what it's taking to run their business that they aren't focusing on their business. And what I tell them to do is to stalk their target market.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is they need to find out exactly where they're hiding, what their target market is doing, what they're feeling. It's what I call a geographic and demographic market evaluation. You need to know where they are. You need to know what they read, what they think, what they eat, what they listen to, what they watch, what they drive. I mean, you really need to know as many details as you can about your ideal customer, because if you don't know that, then you're going to be marketing in the wrong area. It really makes marketing a lot easier once you know the perfect profile of your, what we call UCE, ultimate customer experience. Who's the customer? What are they looking for? What road do I want to take them down? Once you've systematized that, then you just duplicate it, and it makes marketing so much easier.
Well, I love the way you're talking about really reverse engineering from everything you can possibly know about your customer. How cool is that?
Well, it really is, and then you take it one step further, David, because then you find affiliate partners that fulfill other pieces of the puzzle, and then you match, you know, services and products with them to capture the same target market. It makes a lot of fun. You know, let me just quickly give you an example of that.
Please.
You know, let's say that you are a real estate agent looking for first-time home buyers. Well, I know that statistics show 42% of people that get married for the first time within the first year will be looking for a home. So what I would suggest is you go out and you match up with wedding planners, wedding invitation designers, florists, cake, you know, companies, DJs, halls, people that cater to the wedding market, so that then you can partner with them and get another piece of the puzzle to get you in front of that market.
What is the R&R effect?
Well, we talked about that as the fourth cornerstone of a successful business, and it stands for retention and referral. And unfortunately, most business owners spend 80% of their time advertising and going in for what we call the front of the marketing map, where the backside, the top producers know 80% is spent in this category right here. And what the R&R effect involves is that you've got to have, I mean, it's not even an option, you've got to have an automated drip marketing campaign in place for your clients. You've got to provide ongoing value and information that they need to know to provide them with benefits. Provide discounts, free services, resources, new ideas. For example, in the real estate industry, after you've sold them a house, or after I've done a mortgage for them, or gotten them into the home, you know, I know that when spring arrives, they're going to need some tips on landscaping. And so I'll find a landscaper and make sure that I've got a 10 or 15% coupon just for my customers available to help them make their house a little nicer. I'll provide them tips on how to winterize their home in the fall, tips on what to look for in terms of insects or maintenance tips on plumbing or electrical things. You know, little things like that are going to keep them in touch with you. And the more personal you can make it, the better, because as I tell folks, look, people do business with people, not computers. So you've got to give it a personal touch and create a brand.
Chip, your book is Cashing In on Pre-Foreclosures and Short Sales, now the number one on Amazon. I guess it's in that category. Do I have that right?
Yeah, nonfiction, yeah.
All right, terrific. Congratulations, by the way. Where are the opportunities right now? And give us a sense of the time frame of what we'll call the floor of the market and then possibly a turn.
It's wide open, and it varies depending upon area. Some areas will recover faster than others. I do think that we'll see the bottom start to, in general terms, the bottom start to hit probably by the end of this year, and things will be looking up in 2010. As you know, here in Michigan, we're struggling a little bit worse than others, and so our cycle may be a little bit longer. But there are some signs already in some areas of the country that things are looking a little bit brighter. So hang on. The opportunities are there. You just need to be ready for them when they hit your doorstep.
And the book you've written, by the title, we can tell that you are citing some opportunities there. Give us just a hint about what's between the covers of this book, Cashing In on Pre-Foreclosures and Short Sales.
Well, there really are, from a couple standpoints. Number one, if you're looking for your first home, you know, maybe you're a young couple or recently divorced or something like that, and you need to get into a property, it's no secret that there are a lot of foreclosures out there right now and a lot of people hurting. You have an opportunity to help somebody, give them a hand and help them out by keeping them out of foreclosure. By, you know, getting into a property, by negotiating a short sale or getting a deal on a property, saving yourself thousands in the process, but also helping them, you know, get on with their lives. And so that's one opportunity. Number two is the fact that the economy recovery is going to be based upon investors stepping up to the plate and providing a bottom to this housing market. And so investors are going to have to come in and look at investing in these properties as long-term opportunities. There are a lot of them out there, and in order to save the big money, pre-foreclosure is really the opportune place to do that, because banks are in a negotiating mood. They know it's going to be very expensive for them to go through the foreclosure process. The second greatest opportunity is on the way, 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 way tail end of the foreclosure, when the banks and financial institutions have already taken their losses. And so I'd rather help somebody out and let them get on with their lives as opposed to being on the tail end when I know that somebody's life has already been destroyed in the process.
Yeah, good stuff. Chip, thanks for joining us. Chip Cummings has been our guest. That hit website, www.chipcummings.com. He's the author of Cashing In on Pre-Foreclosures and Short Sales. And for information on any of the above that we discussed in this segment, you can visit that website again, www.chipcummings.com. Chip, thanks for joining us on the program.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, David. Hope we can do it again sometime.
Absolutely. We'll do it.
Small Biz America.
The brain.
Online at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.